This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $100 at WynnBET and get a $100 free bet. Head on over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today.
Hello, DeGenerinos, and welcome to another action-packed, exciting episode of the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 185. Let's dedicate this to Sam Alvey, who's no longer in the UFC. Don't let the door hit you on your way out. Bye-bye. Thank you for coming to the show. I am, as usual, your host, the Jamaican sensation, Jeff Fox, one of half of the dynamic duo here at the MMA Gambling Podcast. This episode is going to be all about this week's UFC San Diego prelims. We've had the card is actually packed with fights. We got seven prelim fights. We're going to break down this episode for you. And then tomorrow's episode, we will be giving you the main card, all the six fights there. And good news, Gumby God is back. Not Daniel Vreeland. He's been here every episode, but the actual Gumby God made a return appearance last night at Dana White's Contender Series. And did his normal 4-for-1 performance, 4 wins, 1 loss, which is what we grew accustomed to in the past. But this is, well, we'll talk more about that on the weekend when we do our Contender Series. Contender Series recap and picks for the upcoming week. But I just wanted to throw that out there to give my co-host something to riff off, because he needs something to riff off. I can't just introduce him, because then there's usually like dead air for a good 5 minutes, and then he's like, okay, so anyhow, here's Gumby God, Daniel Vreeland. Hello.
So I would have already had something to riff off. You okay. Already gave me the Sam Alvey intro.
Yes. Which, okay, go ahead.
I have to say this, like, Sam Alvey is cut from the UFC finally. Not only did it come from the UFC roster watch Twitter, which is tells you when they take him out of the ranking system, robotically. So, like, that's, first of all, that's usually pretty reliable when it comes to determining who's now a free agent. But also, Sam Alvey posted to his social media, hey, I guess I'm a free agent now. What's up, Jake Paul, or something like that. And I just have to say, like, he didn't win in his last 9 fights. None of them. None of them did he win. And I found myself a little surprised. Like, is that, like,
really?
Why now? What changed?
That,
like,
it was the last fight in his contract, I think, is what changed.
I mean, but are you telling me none of his contracts expired before that? Or, like, was no chance to, like, cut strings and, like, get out of here? Like, there were chances before to be like, okay, it's over. And the UFC just, like, continuously, like, we're like, hey, you know what we should do? We should book Sam Alvey again, and we should do it frequently. And, like, so the fact that they kept giving him fights, even after losing 9 in a row, like, I thought he was going to get another one. Because, like, if you get it after 8 in a row, why aren't you getting it after 9 in a row? Like, why is that the cutoff now?
Exactly. He said they were giving him, like, raises every few fights, too.
That's fucking wild.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess when you're one of those guys who just, like, talks about how the UFC does such a good job of paying their guys, like, I'm sure there's some, like, tongue-in-cheek bonus going on there, too. I bet Matt Schnell's getting increasing pay for his next fight, too.
Yeah, there you go. So, I want to see Matt Schnell fight again, though, so that's good. I'll take that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He actually does have a fight booked, if I'm not mistaken, too.
I think you're right.
Is he fighting? He's fighting somebody good, if I remember correctly, too. We'll put the intern on it while I turn it over to you to riff on
what
something.
What am I gonna say? I'm done. I did my part already.
You're not the guy who can stall while I look up that Matt Schnell is indeed fighting Matthews Nicolau.
Oh, who it is? Oh, you have to look it up. That's right.
No, yeah, that's it. Matthews Nicolau. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I got it.
Yeah.
December.
Okay. That's okay.
He's going to get beat by Nicolau.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, he is.
Do you want to quickly, since it's still fresh, you want to talk about Contender Series and how you went 4-1, or you want to save that for?
I mean, I can do the real quick rundown because we haven't been doing big rundowns for the Sunday episodes because, like, I mean, by then, guys, you're already just too jacked up for the next week. Yep. I would say this. I think people were unnecessarily hard on Karolina Wojcik. I think her wrestling looked phenomenal. I think maybe she could have opened up a little bit more on the ground, but she did a little bit. And when she did, she gave up position. So like she fought the right kind of fight you would expect. I think she would beat a ton of strawweights in the UFC right now. So I think she was kind of unfairly treated on that. Like Dana wasn't interested. Twitter was all over and crapping all over. Like I thought she looked good. And then the other thing
boring.
I would say
is, it was boring. That's all. Sorry to interrupt it.
I don't think it was that boring. Like, if you appreciate good wrestling and good jiu-jitsu positioning, she was pretty good. And then in addition to that, the other thing I'll say is the one we got wrong, man, I do not feel bad about missing that one. Fat Jamal Pogues jabbing his way to a victory. And by the way, if you're really sitting there, if you were on Twitter complaining and saying Karolina Wojcik should not get a contract, this is boring, and then you have ever applauded a moment of Jamal Pogues' fight or the fact that he got a contract, get out of here. Because that fight was not more exciting. At least not from him. The leg kicks from Hanato Jr. were actually pretty good. But I would not have given either of those heavyweights a contract. I probably would have given it to Wojcik because while she might have been less entertaining for the common fan, I think she'd beat the hell out of some of the strawweights already in the UFC.
Yeah, you think so? But
yeah, I think
I don't know. Whatever.
You don't think she'd out wrestle like Loma Luke Bume?
Yeah.
Or like she'd definitely beat some of those. She'd just use the Lupi Godinez method because like she's not as fun or as fast as Lupi Godinez, but like that's her style. She's like kind of quick with her hands, and she's got like great head pressure and takedowns when she gets you against the cage. Like that, it's working for Lupi. She's storming up the rankings. So like why wouldn't it work for her?
Yeah, that's true. Don't compare anyone to our Loopy, though. We're going to be speaking of her very, very soon. Yeah, Pogues is going to get eaten up in the UFC. So
I'd pick Chase Sherman to beat him. I would. No, I'm not kidding. I would pick Chase Sherman to beat him.
Yeah. I would, too. Well, we're laughing because it's Chase Sherman. But yes, definitely. But it sounds like he's going to go down to light heavyweight, or that's his plan, at least.
Do you think he can? I mean, he's going to have to do some really serious dieting. That's not
those shorts were not fitting.
That's not a weight cut. That's not a weight cut there.
No.
And I would say this, he's in way more trouble at light heavyweight than he is at heavyweight.
Yeah, that's true.
There are no Chase Shermans at light heavyweight.
Yeah. And it sounds like the Bo Nickel thing was planned in advance too.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Like from his comments and stuff heading into that, he said he wouldn't be surprised if he had to fight again in the Contender Series. So
And when Dana said, I'd like to give him one more fight, he gave a thumbs up. His agent came out and said, like, this has all been part of the plan. I think now that I think about it, and it's actually kind of brilliant, I think they probably were like, let's get him a guy who, first of all, doesn't belong here. No offense to Zachary Borrego, but like 3-0 and clearly just like probably not even a 3-0. I wouldn't even call him a prospect based on what I've seen of him. So like they gave him a lamb to slaughter to get the hype up. Now they're going to pair him with what will probably wind up being like an LFA champion type, like an Ellie Aronoff who's I think that Canadian organization champ or whatever. And like somebody like that, they can't actually steal the LFA champ. The LFA champ was Ozzie Diaz, who got knocked out silly by Joe Pyfer. But you know, like somebody like that next. So he'll have like a gradual step up, like a, you know, not a bum. I'm not going to call Borrego a bum, but a guy who doesn't belong there. And then somebody who actually does. And if he beats both those two, he definitely has the wrestling skills. That's for damn sure.
Yeah. He should just go to PFL now. Say, okay, you want to sign me? I'm going to PFL. I'm going to win $1 million. Thank you very much.
You know what? I think if I'll be really honest with you. I think if the UFC did not prearrange two fights for him, and this is how I know they prearranged two fights for him. If they didn't prearrange two fights for him, he'd be signed to Bellator by now.
Yeah, exactly.
1,000%. He'd be signed to Bellator for like $100,000 per fight a deal.
Yep, because he's making five and five to show, five to win on contender series.
Here's the other thing.
He's getting paid 10 and 10 because they pay Pimblett 10 and 10 for credit load.
Yeah. But here's the thing is that Bo Nickel has leverage. Pimblett didn't have leverage. You know, like Bo Nickel could be like, yeah, well, I'm going to Bellator and I'm going to make a slew of money there. And Bellator loves wrestling champions. They love them. You know, they got Pat Downey over there. They got, the hype monster who never really quite panned out the way everybody wanted to, Aaron Pico over there. Like they love wrestling champs. So like he could just walk over there and start making money. Pimblett like continuously was just on Cage Warriors. Like
that's true.
Bellator could have signed him 400 times and they didn't. So like he had no leverage. Nickel has leverage. It wouldn't surprise me if he isn't making 5 and 5 on Contender Series. And I positive if he gets signed, he will not be making 10 and 10.
We shall see. We shall see. But we have more pressing matters at hand now. UFC is the Octagon's on the move. It's back to the Golden State. Finally back to San Diego. Finally. First time since 2015. Do you remember who headlined the last time they were in San Diego?
UFC San Diego. 2015. Cain Velasquez?
No, it was heavyweights, though. It was a fight night.
So Cain Velasquez must have gotten an Anaheim one, right? Because he got a Southern California one. Yeah, he had a Southern California one. Heavyweight headliner in 2015 has to be a fight night card. Roy Nelson?
Nope. Frank Mir versus
Shane Carwin.
Todd Duffy.
Oh, nice. That's a terrible fight. That's such a bad fight. That's when Todd Duffy threw the windmill of doom. The worst punch I've ever seen.
Yep. There you go. All right. We got Vera versus Cruz this week, which should be a much better fight. We'll crack into that in 1 second. We'll crack into the prelims after I tell you about a couple of our lovely sponsors, starting with Wynn. Thinking of joining WynnBET? Now is the perfect time. New customers who bet $100 get a $100 free bet. If you're betting baseball, you have to check out WynnBET. The reduced juice in baseball games makes them the best place to bet MLB. Plus, the WynnBET casino is always open 24 hours a day, where you can get 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. So they know that we sent you at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where play through WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And let me tell you about Odds Tracker. You may ask yourself, what is Odds Tracker? That if you're saying that, you haven't listened to the show before, because they've sponsored us for a little while now. But I'll tell you, in case you forget or haven't heard, Odds Tracker is a place to compare odds from all major sports books. You can also compare the different signup codes and promotions from sportsbooks to get the best deal. The app also provides player statistics, key game stats, injury reports, projected game day weather for bettors to make the most informed bets possible. It also has a bet tracker so bettors can keep records of all your games and betting activities. So here's what you do. Go to oddstracker.com/bluewire to get into Odds Tracker. Odds Tracker, the number one site for all your game day bets. All right, let's give out. We haven't given out any winning picks. I'm already over 10 minutes into the show. So let's give out some winning picks. UFC on ESPN, Vera versus Cruz, a.k.a. UFC on ESPN 441. Wow, they've had that many on ESPN already. Wow. UFC Vegas, not UFC Vegas, UFC San Diego is probably the short form we're going to use for it. This Saturday, as per usual, the Pechanga Arena in San Diego, California. What's Pechanga?
I don't know. It sounds like a native word, maybe, to the area.
It does, perhaps. All right, this is an ESPN card. Prelims, 4 p.m. Eastern. On ESPN. Main card is 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN, but we're not going to delve into the main card now. We are going to delve into it tomorrow. You will have to wait till tomorrow, or you can, if you want my picks, you can read the article I just posted on sportsgamblingpodcast.com, but you have to also listen to the podcast. I've put that disclaimer out there, so you are obligated, contractually obligated, to listen to us and if you read the article. Now I'm waiting. I'm killing time as my spreadsheet opens here, Dan, so we can actually break down the card. I don't know why Excel wasn't open. How about you tell them about the contest you're running while I wait for my spreadsheet to open?
The contest we're running, yes, which we'll have a Twitter post up on soon, is we are going to be giving away $50 to the SGPN store. So if you want to win that $50 and get some sweet gear, including the Tuesday Night Miracles Gumby t-shirt, you can do so by simply just going to either Apple Pods or Spotify and leaving us a beautiful 5-star review. If you'd like to make sure that it's easy for us to contact you if you win, it's always nice to throw us a DM that says, hey, I left you this review. You can screenshot it for us if you want. But we will be picking one person who leaves us a review. And we've kind of left indiscriminate time, probably the end of the month or right around the beginning of September. We'll pick somebody who reviewed the show, gave us a fancy review, and we will be giving them that $50. So make sure that you go on over to wherever it is you listen to this podcast and give us a review.
Perfect timing as the spreadsheet opens up. All right, we're going to start off with some bantamweights. How about Yusuf Zalal versus Damon Black Shearer are going to be opening up the card, what they call in the wrestling business, a curtain jerker. All right, we're going to start off with the short notice debuting Damon Black Shearer, nicknamed Da Monster. Good nickname for Damon Blackshear. Or is that what Damon is short for? Is Damon short for Da Monster, possibly?
I believe it's just Damon. Like, his given name is just Damon.
Birth certificate does not say Damonster Blackshear. It should, though.
I don't think so.
All right. He is 12-4, one knockout, 8 submissions. Never been finished in a fight. As I mentioned, this is a short notice debut in the UFC. He's coming in here as the CFFC champion, so he is a champion in a very reputable organization. I think he's had the belt for a couple fights, right? Is that correct?
I don't know how recent he won it. I want to say he, if I think about it, I think he, when he beat DeAndre Anderson, I don't think that was his last fight, although I don't remember him defending it. So
Damon versus DeAndre.
Yeah.
All right. Anyhow, so he comes in with a good resume. He's won 4 straight fights, last 2 via submission. He also was 1-0 in Bellator. He won that fight via submission too. I have a video of that in the article I just mentioned on sportsgamblingpodcast.com. He comes in at plus 104. Yusuf Zalal, the Moroccan devil. He's 10-5, 2 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's also never been finished in a fight, so maybe you want to bet the over here. He is 3-3 in the UFC, or if you're Yanni, you'd be like, well, these guys always go over, so I'm going to go under. Right?
That's it. The best part about giving people stats is then telling them that you're just going to do the other thing blindly.
Yeah, because it's like playing roulette and saying, you know, black's going to come up next or red's going to come up next because it's due. Yeah, people were having fun with Yanni in the sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord last night. They were keeping a running scoreboard of Gumby's picks versus Yanni's picks and did not go well for Yanni. All right, back to Zalal. He's 3-3 in the UFC, as I said. He won his first 3 fights. Now he's lost 3 straight. He's not won a fight in over 2 years. He's not been in the cage in over a year. He used to fight up at featherweight and up at lightweight. He's 2 years younger than Blackshear, minus 125. We'll let you tell us a bit about Blackshear, since some of us may not have seen him yet, and then make your pick.
So Blackshear is a guy who's got some pretty good groundwork. And that's really where he makes his hay here, is that he's a guy who likes to mix it up on the ground. He's got good chokes. He makes jumps to the back really well. Despite the fact that we're talking about him being a CFFC champion, he does have a very low level of opponent that he has beaten. So for instance, I just pulled up his record. He did defend it once. He defended that title against that guy. As a matter of fact, that's his nickname. That guy, Josh Smith, who's 11-8, how he got a CFFC title shot, I don't know. Perhaps it was short notice, but that seems weird for that guy. Before that, he beat a guy who was 5-0, which seems good. DeAndre Anderson, the aforementioned. DeAndre Anderson has gone on a 3-fight losing streak since then. Before that, he beat a guy by the name of Vitello Volgo, and that guy has lost again since then. So the record doesn't look great when you go back and look at it, and I will say this too, because he's a guy who'd get so much done with his grappling, when he faces somebody who can stop his grappling, he suffers. He suffers really badly. And you can see that in the list of guys who've beat him. Danny Sabatello, really good wrestler over in Bellator. He beat him in Titan. Pat Sabatini, again, good wrestler. even Chris Moutinho, though, who we generally thought is one of the worst guys in the UFC, kind of beat up Damon Blackshear pretty hard. So, you know, like for me, I'm a little worried about the fact that Yusuf Zalal is coming off that 3-fight winning streak. But we're talking about a guy making a debut up a weight class who's going to want to be the aggressive grappler against Zalal, who is a pretty decent grappler, right? A guy who, you know, badly outgrappled Peter Barrett when he needed to and to grind out a win, who actually outgrappled Jordan Griffin for a large portion of their fight. And Jordan Griffin is a pretty damn good grappler. So I sort of just think that Zalal here stuffs enough of Damon Blackshear and just gets it done on the feet. I also think he could probably score a takedown or two of his own, but you know, at the end of the day, like, you know, losses to Leah Tapuria and Sungwoo Choi and Sean Woodson, who are all like, you know, snipers of strikers. I don't think Blackshear is that, and I think Zalal should have a pretty easy time with him.
Well, you make my Blackshear pick look even worse now, don't you? But maybe it'll come through. I figure it is worth a roll of the dice. I actually I didn't have the background on all of his opponents. I thought his resume looked all right. His submission skills definitely are on point.
I do think he has good submissions. I'm with you on that one. But I will tell you, this is a little off book here for Jeff Fox. Jeff Fox taking a smaller guy up a weight class on short notice. If it comes through,
it's a Yanni type pick.
If it comes through, actually, is this one happening at 35 now that I think about it?
This one is
so this is a law. Yeah. This is a law going down, which
the
is
going down.
An interesting point too, but that I mean, at the end of the day, that still means he's going to be bigger. So yeah, I like I like Yusuf Zalal here as well. So we're going to differ on the first one. You're going to go dog.
We'll see. Yeah, I'm concerned about how long Zalal has been out and how long it's been since he's actually won a fight. So we'll see. You can tell I'm super confident with that one. All right, this is one we already broke down in extensively. One, maybe not extensively, but we broke it down last episode, but we can just zip through it quickly here. Jason Witt and Josh Quinlan are fighting once again after the fight getting canceled last week, because Quinlan still has some metabolites in his system because he's a dirty drug cheat, which is why I'm picking him. They're fighting now instead in California, because California doesn't care as much as Vegas does. So it is welterweight. I'll quickly give you guys the resumes. Jason Witt's the vanilla gorilla, 19-8, 3 knockouts, 8 submissions, been knocked out 6 times, submitted twice. So he's been finishing all of his losses. He's 2-3 in the UFC. He's gone loss, win, loss, win, loss. He got TKO'd his last fight. Was a regional champ, 0-1 in Bellator. A negative strike differential, meaning he gets outstruck by his opponents in the UFC, minus 0.37 strikes per minute. Grappling stats in his favor, plus 200. Quinlan, the Renegade, and the Maverick, which fits for him since he did get busted after he won in the Contender Series. He got busted for drugs. He is 5-0 with 1 no contest due to that drug test failure. He's got 3 knockouts, 2 submissions, so he's finished all of his wins. He's got 2 inches height, 2 inches reach, 7 years younger than Witt. He's got better striking stats and active striking stats, but that's based off of one fight. He outstruck his opponent in the Contender Series by 14.05 strikes per minute, minus 250 on Quinlan. I pick Quinlan. I always go with the striker. I just am hoping that he doesn't look like a totally different fighter now that he's supposedly clean. But there's still trace amounts in the system, so maybe he's not totally clean. and Dan pick Witt because he always goes against the strikers and picks grapplers.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Witt here. I do think going up to 180 pounds, which, by the way, is where this one's taking place.
Is it? Okay.
Going up to 180 pounds is going to benefit Witt just a little bit, I think, because he is like a thick guy who maybe hasn't had necessarily like cardio troubles, but like, you know, definitely doesn't look as fresh in the third as he does in the first. So like, I think this might benefit him a little bit. I'm hoping he grinds him out, but you know, like, as I said when I pick Witt the first time, you know, there's a chance Quinlan lands the big bomb here. I'm just hoping Witt does enough of the grappling to score the decision victory here.
Yep, Quinlan does throw a bomb, so that's what I am hoping for there. All right, what should we do next? Should we do another fight? What do we have next on the card? It is flyweights. Oday Osborne versus Tyson Nam. Tyson Nam, you can hear him this week on the Top Turtle MMA podcast. Right? My ears didn't deceive me. I did hear that interview.
You did hear Tyson Nam.
And a friend of this show, a man that filled in for me a few times when I was AWOL, KCP, Kurt Chase Patrick, is also is a co-host in that podcast with you, which was good. I like Shockwave Dave, but it was nice to hear. KCP.
Yeah, he's always a nice little change of pace back. Yeah, that's what he is.
All right. Shockwave's not dead, though, right? You didn't kill him?
No, he's not dead. He's just on vacation.
All right, fine. Okay, let's break down this here fight and stop plugging Dan's other family. Tyson Nam, will tell you about first. 20-12-1, 12 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out 3 times. He's 2-3 in the UFC. He got a really tough strength schedule. They threw him in the fire right off the get-go there, though. He has won 2 of his last 3, but he did lose his last fight. He's been out of the cage since January of 2021. I don't remember. Did he say in the interview why, or are you going to tell us why he's been gone?
No, he's just been looking for a fight and banged up here or there, stuff getting canceled. I mean, he was supposed to fight Tyler Lautenbachoff 2 or 3 times, and they all got canceled. So
Right. He did say that. Yeah. Okay. All right. So here he's got himself a fighter. He's multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. 2-0. Sorry, 0-2. The opposite of that. 0-2 in World Series of Fighting. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 2.05 strikes per minute. Not good at all. +195 on him. Ode Osborne, the Jamaican sensation, 11-4 with 1 no contest. He's got 5 knockouts, 4 submissions, but knocked out once, submitted twice. 3-2 in the UFC. However, he has won 2 straight fights. Last one via knockout. He used to fight up at bantamweight. He used to fight up at featherweight. 1-0 in the contender series. He's got 5 inches of reach on Nam, and he's 9 years younger than him. Striking and active striking stats in his favor. He also gets outstruck in the UFC, but not as badly as Nam, and basically barely. It's a -0.17. Strike differential for him. The strike differential stats actually seem to be pretty indicative of picking winners. 64% at this point since I started tracking it about 80 fights ago or so. So 64% of the fighters who have better striking differential stats heading into a fight win the fight. So there you go. Grappling stats for Osborne also are better than Nam. -240. We'll let you go first.
I'm going to go with Ode Osborne. I know you said that the strength of schedule for Tyson Nam is really good, and to an extent it is. Like, the guys he lost to are really good, right? Matt Schnell, yep. Kai Kara-France, Sergio Pettis. The guys he beat, though, are also awful.
Yep.
Zaruk Adashev. So it's almost like a, you know, an inverse bell curve here, where like, you know, the outer extremes are the ones getting tested. And I do really like Tyson Nam, but, like, Tyson Nam, to me, is kind of like, he needs to land those really big punches, right? Like that's his way into winning a fight. And it's not really easy to knock out Ode Osborne. Literally, the only person who's done it is Manel Kapp with a flying knee. So, like, if you're talking about strength of schedule, like that's strength of schedule. Ode's hands have looked kind of better lately. And in addition to that, like, he's got the wrestling to fall back on. I think people forget that, like, Ode has, like, a wrestling background that he could fall back on that I think he'd be just fine using if he needed it here. So yeah, I'm going with Ode here. Despite the kind of tempting number on Tyson Nam, like the number looks kind of decent at the end of the day.
Big number, but you know, I'm taking Ode Osborne, the reach and the youth on the side. And yeah, he's a better striker and he's got almost half a foot of reach to implement that with. So yeah, Ode is the pick. And as you mentioned, he can also wrestle if need be. So we're on the same page for that one. We're also on the same page telling you that Run Your Pool is a great sponsor of ours. Let me tell you about it. Run Your Pool is the home of competition, bringing sports fans and their social circles together to compete, connect, and make every game matter more. Run Your Pool offers every game type under the sun, from Pick'em and Survivor to Fantasy Pools. It's a one-stop shop for sports gaming with customizable features that you don't get anywhere else. We've teamed up with Run Your Pool to host a pool for our official SGPN NFL Survivor Contest free to enter, with some amazing prizes will be announced for it very, very soon. Hop in now to reserve your spot. So get over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/survivor. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/survivor and get in the game. We're also good friends with Sleeper. Sleeper is the fastest growing fantasy platform today with millions of players. You probably already have a fantasy league on there. I use it for mine. They have just passed 4 million users. And now you could win on Sleeper by playing their new over-under game. First in any sport, choose 2 or more players that you like and pick the over-under. If you pick correctly, you can win anywhere from 2 times to over 20 times the money you put in. With the NFL season right around the corner, Sleeper is the first sports contest game built into the fantasy experience. The main reason I'm excited about Over Under on Sleeper is that it's the only app where I can join my buddies' contests and play together. It's got a built-in group chat where I can see and copy my friends' picks with the tap of a button. It's insanely fun to ride it out together. Stop what you're doing and download Sleeper now to play their new Over Under game. Have fun with your friends and make some money. Here's what you do. On your mobile phone, join our listener group on Sleeper at sleeper.com/SGP, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. Again, go to sleeper.com/SGP and you'll get the $100 match on your first deposit. Terms and conditions apply. See Sleeper's terms of use for details. All right, moving on with our picks for this week's MMA. Lightweights, Gabriel Mogli Benitez versus Charlie. He's got a good nickname. The American bad boy, Ontiveros. That's what it is. Ontiveros, 11-8. Four knockouts, two submissions. He's been knocked out 8 times. All of his losses have come via knockout. 0-2 in the UFC, both of them via TKO. 2-3 over his last 5. 0-1 in Bellator. Used to fight at welterweight. He's been professional MMA fighter since 2012. He's got 6 inches of height on Benitez, 7 inches of reach, 3 years younger. So he's going to be way bigger and slightly younger than him. In the UFC, he's been outstruck by almost 4 strikes per minute. Minus 3.9 is his strike differential. Plus 275 is the number on him. Mogli Benitez, 22-10, 8 knockouts, 10 submissions. He's been knocked out 4 times, submitted twice, 6-6 in the UFC. He's lost 2 straight and he's only won 1 of his last 5. His last 2 losses have come via TKO. Used to fight down at featherweight. He was 1-1 on The Ultimate Fighter. He's been fighting since 2007. Striking stats in his favor, and he's 6.5 times more active landing strikes in the UFC than Ontiveros is so far. He outstrikes his UFC opponents by 0.62 strikes per minute. He also has grappling stats on his side, minus 350. I will obviously take Mogli. Ontiveros should not be, or Mogli, excuse me, Ontiveros shouldn't be in the UFC at this point. He's proven that he can't really hang here. So Benitez, I'm surprised I'm picking him in the year 2022, year of our Gumby God 2022, but I'm picking Benitez.
I'm not. I'm.
Oh, wow.
I'm. No, first of all, I am picking him this time, but I'm not surprised I'm picking okay. him right now. No. Ontiveros is, you're right. He's probably not UFC caliber. I mean, you saw in that Steve Garcia fight, like, I, as a matter of fact, I think I picked him in the Steve Garcia fight because I was like, he could have success on the feet. And then Steve Garcia just like manhandled him to the mat. And it looked like he didn't know what jiu-jitsu was once he hit the mat. But like, look, you could be bummed out that Gabriel Benitez has won just 1 out of his last 4 fights. But the losses are to David Onama, Billy Quarantillo, Omar Morales, and Sadiq Youssef. And like the only one of those who I'm like, man, that's not a great loss. Is Omar Morales is not like a great loss, maybe? You know, like Omar Morales has since lost a couple of times, but to like Jonathan Pierce and Giga Chikadze. So like those are not bad losses for Mogli, you know, and he went out there and beat Justin James, the guy who he should beat. So like, yeah, like I think that's probably why he's getting another shot, despite the fact that he's 1-4 in his last 5. So he's got good kickboxing. He loves to bang. Like, I think he's sharp on the feet when he is throwing. He's just a little bit overly zealous and reckless. And like you said, he's got the chance to take it to the ground if Ontiveros is having any success. So I'm going Benitez here.
You got it. Benitez is the pick. All right, another fight we broke down a few weeks back, last month, actually. Cynthia Calvillo versus Nina Nunez. They are fighting at flyweight. We will tell you about Nunez first. The Strina is her nickname. 10-0. Did we decide what that is or what it means?
We didn't find it, and I think it's the Strina, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, well, excuse me. You don't know what it is, but you know how it's pronounced. Is that what you?
I think I've heard Bruce say it. It won't be the only time that I correct your pronunciation tonight, I'm sure.
Really? Yeah. I didn't hear you correct. Well, I guess KCP didn't say anything wrong, so you don't have to correct him. So
no. Oh, he's actually, it'll be the main card episode where I correct your pronunciation.
You think so? Oh, yeah. The two Yasmins are fighting each other. Yeah. Third from the top for some reason. Anyhow, we're not talking about Yasmins in this episode. We're talking about Nina Nunez. She's 10-7, 4 knockouts, 2 submissions. She's been submitted twice. 4-4 in the UFC. She's lost her last 2 fights, last one via submission. She's not fought since April 2021. Her last win was December of 2018. So she's not won since she has become a mother. So maybe she gets off the snide this week. We shall see. 2010 was her pro debut. Inch of height over Calvillo. Striking stats in her favor. She outstrikes her opponents by 1.14 strikes per minute in the UFC. So you think she'd have a better than 4-4 record, but alas, she does not. Plus 140 is the number on her. I think it's a little more favorable. Like, I think it's a little higher number than it was when we picked her originally in the matchup. Not to tip our hands here. Calvillo, 9-4-1, 2 knockouts, 3 submissions. She's been knocked out twice. 6-4-1 in the UFC. She's won 3 straight, the last 2 via TKO. She's not won since June of 2020. This could be a loser-leave-home match. Loser leaves town. She used to fight down at strawweight. She missed weight a couple times there. Now she's flyweight. She's 2 years younger than Nunez. She outstrikes her opponents by 0.17 strikes per minute in the UFC. Grappling stats in her favor, minus 170. Originally, we both picked Nunes. We have more faith in her showing up and coming through. We still feel that way?
Yeah, grappling takedowns will be there for her. Yep. Or, you know, like I think she stuffs everything Calvillo needs. Being up at flyweight, I think, is going to benefit her. And then the other thing I will just say, too, is that Calvillo generally doesn't look like she belongs at 25. She's looked pretty bad since moving up. And I think it's going to be a benefit for Nina, who both looks she looks like she's gained some muscle mass since coming back. So, yeah, like she hung with Tatiana Suarez for 15 minutes. I'm not afraid of Cynthia Calvillo's grappling. Give me the dog money on Nina Nunes.
Yes, same with me. Like I said, I think it's a better number for us than it was, slightly better than it was when we originally took her. I'm not positive on that. And maybe all the drama with her partner, Amanda Nunez, I guess wife, I think they're married actually, losing the belt and getting it back. Maybe now that's in the rear view, maybe she will, have a clearer head here. Did you hear she's still at ATT, American Top Team, while Nunez left, she's still there, which is kind of surprising.
That's kind of a weird move.
Yeah. I just saw those headlines. She says she's going to stay there till she's done her career. So maybe this really is a, Nunez does not want to be around
Kayla Harrison.
Yeah. So interesting drama, Dan, drama. All right. What do we got next? We got 2 more fights left. I think I'll tell you about our last sponsor here. That's helping keep the lights on in the various studios we have across the globe. It's IP Vanish. Did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without added security, you might as well give away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why I use IPVanish VPN to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IPVanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. This means that your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple. You use IPVanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing on speed. Your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go online anymore without using IPVanish. IPVanish is offering an incredible 70% off the yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's just like getting 9 months for free. IPVanish is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You won't even know it's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you stream, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back today with a brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. So go to ipvanish.com/SGP and use promotional code SGP and claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. All right. We're going up to the big boys, Dan. I don't think I would call these guys chunky guys, though.
I would call Martin Bude a chunky guy.
No, I would call Lucas Brzezinski a hunk. That's what I would call him.
You would call him a hunky guy?
Yes, he's a hunky guy. The Bull up against baddies. Martin Bude. Let's tell you about Brzezinski, the Bull, first. 8-1-1 with 1 no contest, 5 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out one time. This is his UFC debut. He's another guy who was won in the Contender Series and failed a drug test. So he's got a no contest from that. He is 5-0-1 with 1 no contest over his last 7. He's got an inch of reach on Bude, a year younger, more active striker, but that's based off of one fight. He outstruck his Contender Series opponent by 2.68 strikes per minute. He's got the grappling stats from that one fight too in his favor, plus 215. Baddies Bude, 10-1, 7 knockouts, 1 submission, never been finished in a fight. 1-0 in the UFC, 1-0 Contender Series, 9 straight wins for him. Was a regional champ. Based on the last weigh-ins, he was 30 pounds heavier than Brzezinski. He's outstruck his opponents in those 2 fights by UFC and Contender Series fights by 2.6 strikes per minute, minus 270. Give me baddies. He's got the size. He's got the toughness. Never been finished in a fight. He's going to have a huge size on Brzezinski. And I think he's going to be the better fighter here. So give me him.
Yeah, I agree with you on this one. I think the size is the big piece, too. Like, I just think, like, he's one of those fighters who does, like, a really good job of, like, leaning against his opponent on cage and in the cage and making their life miserable. I think he does that to, like, a gross extent here and just, like, you know, beats the hell out of him. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Boudet as well.
There you go. All right. Moving on to the Z main event. It is a catchweight 120-pound fight. Do you know why this is a catchweight fight? Both ladies have fought at both those weight classes.
It's the one that just got canceled.
This is the Angie Hill one.
Yeah, this one got bumped up a month and a half.
Yeah. Okay.
They were supposed to fight at the end of October. A whole bunch of fights fell off this fight card. Like I know we didn't talk about it at the beginning, lost Aspen Ladd versus Sarah McMahon, Alexa Grasso versus Viviana Rubio, Alan Nascimento versus Malcolm Gordon. And then of course Estela Nunes pulled out and Christian Quinones pulled out, and they didn't have replacements for those two fights yet either. So it had basically lost five fights. Now lucky for the UFC, Jason Witt, Quinlan somehow got bumped. Lipsky Cachoeira got bumped, but like they were in panic mode that they couldn't have like a 9-fight card, so they asked Lupi and Hill, who of course are the two people who take short notice fights the best.
They just went up
5 pounds.
Okay, there you go. Gumby's got an reason for this. So it is a catchweight fight, Angela Hill versus Lupita Godinez. I didn't even tell you who was fighting in it yet. Should be a big deal. Both ladies have fought at strawweight and at flyweight. So let's tell you about Angie Overkill Hill, 13-12 with 5 knockouts. She's submitted twice, easy for me to say. She's 8-12 in the UFC over 2 stints. 0-1 in the Ultimate Fighter. She's lost 3 straight fights. She's only won 1 of her last 6. She was 4-0 in Invicta and the champion there. She was also a pro kickboxer. She's got 1 inch of height on Godinez, 3 inches of reach. She's 2.4 times more active landing strikes than Godinez is. She outstrikes her UFC opponents by 0.42 strikes per minute. Plus 255 is the number on her. Lupi Godinez, who grew up in Canada. So I'm claiming her, and she still lives and trains in Canada. So we are claiming her as one of our own. She's 8-2, 1 knockout, 1 submission, never been finished in a fight. 3-2 in the UFC, won 2 straight fights, was the LFA champion, was also a regional champion. She's 8 years younger than Hill. She outstrikes her UFC opponents by 0.49 strikes per minute. Grappling stats are in her favor, minus 325. Go ahead.
I'm going to take Lupi Godinez. I think this is actually a pretty easy pick. I think the thing that's always been good about Angie Hill is that when she gets into a clinch, her like physical gifts take over. And I don't mean to say gifts is to like disparage the fact that she's like not technical or that she doesn't like work really hard to be as strong as she is. You know, I'm just saying she is an athletic woman. And when she gets up against the cage, she uses that athleticism to sort of, you know, toss her opponent around or bully her opponent. You can't bully Lupi Godinez. It's not possible. She is the bully. And with the increase in the wrestling we've seen from Lupi, you know, I kind of, she's one of those, the sky's the limit prospects for me right now. So I'm on Lupi Godinez here. I think it's pretty easy.
As am I. Yep. She's going to grapple her way to victory here. Hill's reputation and popularity far outstrips what she's actually done, at least in the UFC.
8-12, despite that, like at the end of the day too, she's still being this big of an underdog despite the hype that goes into her. So yeah, like that's even more of a reason, right?
Yep. Is Godinez the best Canadian prospect around right now or not? The best female Canadian prospect?
I don't have it
off the top of my head.
Is Godinez the best Canadian prospect from Canada? Yeah, probably since Jasmine Jesutavicius looked pretty poor her last time out. Yeah, I might say Lupi's the best. I mean, she's not Canadian, but she's from Canada.
She brings the Canadian flag around.
She does. Yeah. They escaped like some scary gangster activity. And
yes,
she's from Mexico originally. She told the story one time. It's crazy. Yeah. But like, yeah. So yeah, she does call Canada her home. She sure does.
There you go. we are claiming her, especially if she wins this week for us. So there you go. There are our picks for the prelim portion of the card. Pretty solid prelims. A lot of interesting prospects and whatnot. But we will be back in your ears tomorrow. Tomorrow's a very special day. I just clued in, Dan. Tomorrow's a very special day. So we're going to have a very special episode next, aren't we? August 11th episode. Very special.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but sure. August 11th.
August 11th is a big day.
Sounds good. Yeah.
All right. So we'll be back in your ears tomorrow for the main card. Until then, make sure you get in our Discord if you aren't already. We have lots of fun in there. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/Discord. Get in the conversation. Follow us on Twitter, SGPNMMA. Mr. Gumby puts out the tweets. Tweets on that one is what I'm trying to spit out, I guess. Jeff Fox, writer. He is Gumby Vreeland. We told you about his podcast, other podcasts, Top Turtle, MMA podcast. He had on Tyson Nam, and he had on, I'm trying to remember who else I heard there, the first part. I can't remember who the first interview was.
The Brown Bear, Devin Clark.
Yes, Devin Clark, the Brown Bear. Will he pick against Devin Clark? He picked against Tyson Nam. Will he pick against Devin Clark next episode? We shall have to wait and see. I think that's all I need to tell you. Make sure you plug us in your ears again tomorrow. We'll give you all our picks for the main card. We'll talk to you then. Bye-bye.